Kippur Shvat is a holiday in which I think there are a tremendous amount of questions on what is the best way to celebrate the holiday, what is the mindset of Tu B'Shvat. It's an Indian of eating Peiros Eretz Yisrael, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael on Tu B'Shvat. But there's a tremendous amount of depth and beauty that's associated with Tu B'Shvat that perhaps we don't study enough and understand enough. And although tonight is not going to be directly on all the mystical implications of Tu B'Shvat, I would like to use tonight the model of a tree as a model of growth for our lives, and within that model to be able to somehow gain a perspective on a different various levels on the essence of what Tu B'Shvat is about. I'll say at the outset, an approach that we are not taking before beginning our study, it's an approach that's found in the Sfarim, the Sichot Yitzchazkut, notes it in Source 1, that Tu B'Shvat is not only the holiday celebrating the fruits of the trees of Eretz Yisrael. Tu B'Shvat is really a celebration of Eitz Chaim Hilam Achazikim Ba. It's a celebration of terror which is compared to a tree. And we know that the Chumash tells us at the beginning of Parshas Dvarim that Moshe Rabbeinu began recapping the entire Sefer Dvarim on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And the pasuk there says, Ho'el Be'er Et HaTorah, that Moshe Rabbeinu began to Be'er Et HaTorah. And Be'er literally means to explain the Torah. On a deeper level, there's a concept that Be'er comes from the concept of a well. That Torah is meant to dig. Torah is meant to analyze. Torah is meant to investigate. And it's not by accident that the mazel of the Chodesh Shvat is that of a dli, of a bucket, which is a concept of drawing from the well, of drawing from the well of Torah. And that Tu B'Shvat, there's a tremendous amount of shefa, of influence, of hashpa, of understanding of Torah that one can tap into on Tu B'Shvat. And in fact, they say that all of one's chidushei Torah, all of one's insights into Torah are really generated from the hashpa of Tu B'Shvat. The Tu B'Shvat is a holiday of learning Torah. Along this line, we understand, the Mefarshim bring down, the Ozayim LaTorah is a beautiful piece on this, the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's Tefillah, the beginning of Beth Chanan, that when we say in the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh, that we eat of the fruits of the land, le'achol mipiryah v'lisvoa mituvah, to eat of the fruit and to nourish ourselves and satiate ourselves from its goodness, that the peiros of Eretz Yisrael, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, have the ability to bring a person to levels of greater yirah shamayim, a greater closeness to God. It's being grown in a place of kedusha, a place of tara, a place of closeness to God. The concept of you are what you eat, it really holds. So therefore, we understand that if Tu B'Shvat is a holiday of lima Torah, of learning Torah, so on this level, the peiros of Eretz Yisrael, the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, the seder Tu B'Shvat that some people are noheg to have, all enables us, I don't know if we have this in mind, but something to think about, to appreciate levels of greater Yerushalayim and greater closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu through eating the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. That is a whole mahalach, a whole mindset on its own, not one we're walking down today, but a beautiful path nonetheless. Having said that, let's walk down the path of a whole different approach of what we can learn from Tu B'Shvat. I'd like to begin, and our major aspect of tonight comes from a sefer, an essay in a sefer, Marche Lev Chazon Lamoed, written by Rabbi Aryeh Lev HaKohen Shapira, who's a ram in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, who quotes a very famous Gemara in Tanis. It's become more famous now because a song has been made of it, and anything that turns into a song is well known, of Rav Nachman, who leaves Rav Yitzchak, and he asks him, Livarcham, please bless me. And he says, I'm sholecha mashal, I'll give you a parable. L'maha davar domeh, to what is this likened in source number 2, L'adam shayah olech b'midbar, v'aya ra'ev v'ayefet tzameh, a person walking in the desert who's tired, who's hot, who's thirsty, u'matza ilan sheperotah mitukim v'tzilon na'eh, he found a tree with beautiful fruit, sweet fruit, and wonderful shade, v'matamayim overa tachtav, and the stream of water is running beneath it. He ate of its fruit and drank of its water and benefited from its shade. And then when he's about to leave, he says, Ilan, Ilan, b'ma'abarchecha. How can I bless you? Should I bless you with good fruit? You already have it. With nice shade, you already have it. With water, you already have it. Ella Yehi Ratzon, this is the end of the song, right? Shekol Netiyo Chinotni Mimcha, you come out. That all the trees that are planted from you should be like you. And within this Gemara, we'll find that we have the major aspects of what the characteristics of a tree are about. The aspects of the Perotav Metukim, the Tzilon Na'eh, all of these different aspects, the bracha that more trees should become like you, are all embedded in this Gemara. And it's these aspects, because we know Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh, that we are compared to the tree of the field, it's these aspects that we need to gain inspiration from. And in fact, the Maharal has a beautiful piece that the natural world around us is meant to inspire us to become better people. And therefore, if Tu B'Shvat is the holiday of the trees, it behooves us to take a look at what trees are about, to take a look at the model of a tree, and be able to gain inspiration, insight, and direction for our lives, how we, who are Doma, who are likened to a tree, can better ourselves and can grow accordingly. What are the four characteristics of a tree? So he notes in this essay the following. The first is found in source 3. How do we know the difference between pre-Eitz, so pre-Adama, whether something's a fruit or a vegetable? So an ilan is something that oseh peiro mishana l'shana, that the roots are deeply embedded in the ground, and it produces fruit every year. And this is the difference, let's say, between why a banana tree is ha'adama and not ha'eitz. A tree, by definition, is something with firm roots and something that produces the fruit year in and year out. That's idea number one of what a tree is about. Idea number two in source 4 is that Chaylan Gadel Ligavoa, Ve'ilu Shar Yirakol Nemuchim Heim. Like a cucumber patch is pretty low on the ground. Tomatoes, even, no matter the greatest of heights, it's low compared to a tree. The second characteristic of a tree is its gova, it's its height. The third characteristic, which is the Gemara we just saw in Tanis, it's silo na'a, it's beautiful shade. And the final characteristic of a tree is shaylan mijafyein bekach shenitan lavrich manafav ba'aretz kidei latzmiach ilan nosav. That you're able to take a branch from the tree and be able to plant it in the ground, and a new tree will sprout from it. Hence we have, and these are the four Mirtz Hashem we'll examine tonight, and on each level to understand Tu B'Shvat a little bit deeper, are four aspects of a tree. One is that its roots are firmly planted in the ground and it produces fruit year to year. Number two, it grows to a great height. Number three, it has shade. And number four, the tree has the ability to take from its branch, plant it in the ground, and new trees will come from it. Let's try to understand each one of these separately and gain the appropriate message and lesson. The first is, again, we'll use as our starting point this essay in Chazon Lamo 8. He notes in source number 6, Yodim Anu, we know, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Kava Ba'adama Et Koach HaMishicha. There's something in this world called a gravitational pull. And that's something that God created in this world. That we have a Koach that goes from the Shamayim, from the heavens, down to the Aretz, down to the earth. Now, if that's the case, that generally things run on a gravitational pull, right? You throw something up, it's going to come right back down. Isn't it fascinating, Achreza, Pelekiu Moshe La'eitz Talui? Isn't it fascinating that the tree, in order to thrive and survive, is dependent, Bav Shirutam Shol Sharashim, to be able, Linok et Chayutam min Adama, V'lavir et HaChayut, B'kivun HaFuch Mikoach HaMashicha. When you look at a tree, you'll note that it goes in the exact opposite direction. The roots of the tree then have to be able to pull its nutrients counter that force and move upward in order to support the tree, the branches, the foliage, and the fruit. And the higher the tree, the greater the pull in the opposite direction. What a lesson, he says, in 7 to our lives. We have this same tchuna, the same characteristic of the koach mishicha adir tava kadosh baruch hu adam, koach hamoshech oto la'artzios lebehemios. We have a pull downward. It's what the Mefilas Yesharim speaks about in the Midah of Atzlus, of laziness. We're drawn to the ground. We're drawn to the physicality of this world. And if, like, we had nothing to do all day, like, you know, we could forget the laundry and the errands, and we just had nothing on our plate today, what would we do? The answer is nothing. We would do nothing. Why? Because, yeah, we'll get to it later. You know, it could be done some other time. The natural human tendency is atzlus. The first message of the tree is to go against that tefa, go against that nature, and like the tree whose roots pull from the ground upward, we need to pull ourselves in the opposite direction. It's mamish the first halacha in 8a and 8b in the Shulchan Aruch Harachayim. Yiskaver ka'ari lamod baboker lavod asbaro. Sheyehu ma'orir ha'shachar. You have to get up out of bed in the morning. Sounds like a bizarre halacha, but it's exactly this idea. When you're lying in bed, you're lying prone. When you get up out of bed, you've moved against that gravitational pull downward, and you get up. And we have every excuse, my friends. We all have them. Oh, a little bit more time. Oh, it's too early. I don't need to get up. It's hot. It's too cold. Yiskaver ka'ari, to get up in the morning. But my friends, in reality, if we were to look at one composite of ideas where you find this most pronounced, that a person needs to go against their teva, it's clearly in the area of midos, in the area of working on our character traits. A person may say, I was born angry, I was born stingy, I was born... Yeah, that's the koach meshicha, that's the downward pull. Midos forces a person to say, I can be miskaber by midos, I can overcome. And to work on a person's midos, as the Siva Shalom points out in Chelek Aleph on midos in Source 9, he gives it as a mashal to a tree, where he says that if you want a tree to be strong and produce healthy fruits, you have to begin in the roots. If the roots are strong and the roots are really well embedded in the ground, and in our nimshal, the analogy would be our mitos, our teva, our tchunos, our character traits. So if that is holding strong and that is holding firm, so then we don't have to worry about what the tree will look like and the security that the tree will be in good shape. And the fascinating thing is, it's brought down in the Sfarim, that aside from working on Torah and mitzvos in this world, and aside from working on the different mitos that we've come to work on, our different shlichos, our different jobs we need to work on in this world, one of the things that we are put on in this world to do is to work on a particular mitzvah. The Siva Shalom in Rosh Hashanah at Kuntres in 11 speaks about that there is in particular a mitzvah in the Aseh Tov, in the positive that we need to develop and make uniquely ours. And there's one mitzvah in the Sur Meirah, in the negative, that we're here to work on. So, my friends, we have to understand that life is not just about doing Torah mitzvot. It's mamish about working on ourselves. And if we find that we have a midah, we get angry easily, we're stingy, we're lazy, whatever it is, instead of saying, gosh, you know, I'm doomed, you say, wow, I know what it is that's overpowering my life. I know what it is that's taking over everything I do. Isn't that wonderful? Now I have such clarity of vision why Kadosh Baruch Hu put me in this world, and I know what I have to work on. That's the model of the tree, the model, the inspiration. Let me work counter that. Let me work against that. And don't say, oh, what can I do? No, the tree is anti-gravitational pull. There's a second nekuda about a tree. When we're talking about the aspect that a tree whose roots are firmly planted in the ground, aside from the roots going in the opposite direction to nourish the tree. It's another nekuda, another point that Chazon Lama'ed brings in Source 12. And it's also an equally powerful point. He says that when you look at a tree, bi'itzumo shel ha'choref, in the time of the winter, the tree looks ko aluva meruta, looks so alone and so despondent. But bobasman, at that very moment, that it looks like in a state of despair, inside the tree there's a lachluchit, there is the sap that's regenerating itself. It's the sap that's giving the tree the ability to produce new fruit and new foliage and new greenery come the springtime. And he says, likewise within our lives, there are times when we don't have the beautiful fruit on the tree. There are times that our own tree looks so depressed, so alone, so by itself in life. But recognize that it's at those very moments when things seem to be so down, and things seem to lack any amount of vitality, it's at that very moment when we're going through those difficulties that we gain the inner strength to then be able to have the vitality, the greatness that we need in developing who we need to become in life. As the Siva Shalom points out, one of the most beautiful pieces in the Siva Shalom, Parshas Baaloscha, where he speaks about in sources 14 and 15 why the Parsha Vayhi Ben Soa Aron is a sefer b'fnei atzmo, is an inyan b'fnei atzmo. So he says this is not teaching us halacha, it's teaching us life. Vayhi Ben Soa Aron, when the Aron moves, when we go through challenges in life. And we, Moshe Rabbeinu davens, Kuma Hashem, help us out. Let all the enemies, let all the difficulties be removed from us. And then when we've been able to get through this difficulty, we ask Hashem that Shuva Hashem Rivos Alpha Yisrael, that Hashem should return and rest himself on us. That the difficult points in life are in order to enable us to reach higher levels in life. And life, like the tree, has both of these aspects to it. It has times of beauty, and it has times when the tree seems to be all alone. And that's the life of us, the tree representing human beings. So we also go through a cycle in life. But to recognize that even in the time of barrenness and despair, it's just building us up to be able to reach higher levels of self. There's a wonderful story in Rabbi Spiro's new sefer, One Shining Moment. We tell the story of a Rebbe who comes to a certain town, and he's invited in by one of the people of the town to spend Shabbat in his house. This Rebbe tastes of the challah, and he says to the men, he says, "Wow, this challah has a taste of Gan Eden. Incredible. Who made this challah?" So, very proudly, he said, "My wife made it." He said to the wife, "What'd you put in this challah?" So I said, "I have to be Moda. I didn't make the challah this week. You know, sorry. I hate to disappoint your husband." But there was an 11-year-old orphan girl who knocked at my door in the middle of the week saying she needed to make some money. So I told her she could make the challah. So they asked this little girl, "What did you put in the challah?" She said, "I followed the recipe. I did everything she told me. I didn't add anything." No, we're not questioning that. "But tell me, how did you make the challah?" So the girl said, "I made the challah the way I remembered my mother, Allah Shalom, making matzah. When she would knead the dough for the matzah, she used to sing challah. So I sang challah. But when I sang challah, it brought to my mind, to my memories, my mother. So I was crying. I was crying while saying the challah, while baking the challah." Said this Hasidic Rebbe, "That's why it tasted like Gan Eden. If you can have challah with tears at the same time, that's a tam of Gan Eden. That's what the tree is about." And my friends, that is really what Tu B'Shvat is about. if you ask yourself, if we ever wonder, why is Tu Bishvat in the middle of the winter? If you would ask me, the holiday of trees, you know what I would offer? In the middle of the springtime, right around Pesach time. Okay, you don't want to put two so close together. It's beautiful. Buds, flowers, holiday of the trees. Let the trees look in the grandeur. The holiday of the trees, it's been, you see it in Eretz Yisrael. In some parts of the world, you really see it. There is what? Nothing on the trees. That's the holiday of the trees. Like, shouldn't you have a birthday at its best? But this is the Nakuta. This is the Nakuta. What Tu Bishvat is teaching us, by having Bedavka, the birthday of the trees at this time, is to teach us this lesson, that sometimes it's coming from the point of emptiness that you can grow to higher heights than when it looks so full. And this is the idea of Rav Dessler. It happens to be on this week's Parsha B'Shalach. That Hashem said to Moshe in Parsha B'Shalach, "See, I'm standing before you there by the rock on Horeb, on which our rabbis comment. The Holy One, blessed be He, said to Moshe, wherever you find signs of a human foot, there I am before you." What's going on here? So the symbolism of our rabbis, of the foot, is that the foot is the lowest part of the human body. In the language of the rabbis, the human foot means the lowest level of the human being's spiritual existence. 17. But it's just at the lowest level that God stands. Right there is the place of the Shekhinah. As God said to Moshe on a previous occasion, "Take your shoes off your feet, the place where you are standing is holy ground. Wherever a person stands, there is his holy place, the place where he can begin his regeneration. His spiritual place, his Bechira point, however low it may be on the scale of spiritual values, is precisely the place for which he can begin his ascent. A person who discovers his lowest point can draw from this discovery the spiritual impetus which he needs for Aliyah. Take your shoes off your feet means remove the covering which is hiding your defect from yourself. When you have done this, the place you are standing will be holy ground, because there's no better place than that to begin one's ascent." That's on the first level to Bishvat. It's the impetus to work on our mitos. It's an impetus to work on those parts of us which are the lowly parts of us. It's an impetus to take a look at the parts of our lives that we struggle with, that are nisyonos in life, that are difficult in life, the parts of life that we feel so distant from God from. And it's those very parts that we get the inspiration from Tu Bishvat. When we look at that tree only on the outside, which seems so barren, but to recognize inside so much is going on, and that is the cycle of life. As Rabbi Tatz quotes the Gra, Living Inspired, "That which we laugh about today, we will cry about tomorrow. And that which we cry about today, we will laugh about tomorrow." Life is one cycle. That, my friends, is just inspiration number one of the trees. Let's now look at characteristic number two, source 18. Tchunato ashniya shel ilan hu agova is its height. Now, you say to me, a komas gufa walking with this, you know, head held high is something that the Gemara looks on with tremendous disfavor. It's like Tavas Hashem Kol Gavolev. It's toiva. It's something negative. Someone who has Gavolev, who has this haughtiness. So what do we mean to say that we should be inspired from the tree of Gavolev, of a great heart, haughtiness, a presence to it? So it's a great insight in the Imre Emes. In source 19, on the Medrash, which speaks about how the mountains were arguing, right? These tall mountains were arguing, wanting the Torah to be given on them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Har Sinai HaMashpil Atzmo, who lowered himself. I remember as a kid, when we still had the Sinai Desert, going up what they claimed to be Mount Sinai. You know, you did that trek up. It is not a low mountain, my friends. And even as a 12-year-old, I can tell you, it's a trek up. So what do you mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, I wanted on a lowly place. Har Sinai is a tall mountain. What's pshat in the Midrash? And if God wanted indeed to put bring the Torah on a low place, so then don't bother bringing it on a mountain at all. Do us all a favor. Where should Torah be given? In the Midbar. Forget the mountains. Right there. Give them the Torah. So what's pshat that the mountains are arguing and Har Sinai lowered itself, but yet it's a mountain and Torah is given on it? So says the Imamis, and this is the key. Shemi sheino bal koma, one who is not of stature, ein b'shifluto shom ributa. To lower oneself is no big zach. V'aributa hidavka b'val koma hamashpil atzmo. One no greatness is, it's when you are great, when you are a tall mountain, and you're able to have shiflus. What does it mean, able to lower oneself? What does it mean that the ilan is gavoa, the ilan, the tree has height? It's a characteristic of human beings who should walk around with pride, who should walk around with their head held high, like Har Sinai, but to know their place in life, to be mashpil tatzma, to lower oneself, recognizing that we're in the presence of God. And in my mind, of all Rabbi Twersky's book, the one that best develops his premise, which he then has through the Haggadah and Pirkei Avos and every aspect of life, is Let Us Make Man, one of his earlier works, where he says in 20, thus, if the reality is that one has a pleasant voice, then it's improper to deny this. If one is intellectually bright, one must not think of himself as a dull. If one is attractive, one may not think of himself as homely. If one is an accomplished scholar, one is not permitted to consider himself an ignoramus. But one should recognize them as a God-given talent. One can recognize his factual greatness without assuming the pride and vanity of the strutting peacock. You want to know what greatness is? You ask Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo kam Navi kemoshe. Were you the greatest Navi ever around? The Moshe Rabbeinu, me? No, not about me. It must be another Moshe. No, yes, I'm the greatest Navi to ever be around. And was Moshe the most most humble of all people? Correct. How can the two be hand in hand? That's the whole point here. The whole point is that a person with a good self-esteem can say b'peh melech, and it's so crucial to bring this idea home to kids and to ourselves. Yes, be modeh, announce with pride, I am good at A, B, and C. That then doesn't mean you say, oh, I'm so good, let me step back. No, it means if I recognize that this is a God-given talent, then boy, do I have an achrayus, that I have a responsibility to develop myself to my utmost. If God gave me brains, then I really have to work on making and utilizing and developing them to the fullest. That's the model of the tree, of the ilan, who is a komas kufa. It stands with pride, but it recognizes that ultimately it stands in front of God. It's able to mashpil atzmo. I would like to argue that one of the built-in systems that we have in Yiddishkeit to remind ourselves of our place, that we should never get carried away with our greatness, is something that Rav Wolbe speaks about in Pathways in 23, the concept of the hisponenos of contemplation that needs to be done every day. Hisponenos comes from the root bina, understanding, and bona, building. One delves into himself to understand and build himself into a viable spiritual being. And we must do that in order not to be superficial and to be choked by the superficiality of the world around us. And it explains Rav Wolpe that one of the ways to allow us to do this hisponenos, the self-contemplation, is mea brachos, is 100 blessings a day. Because 100 blessings a day allows us 100 times to recognize we're standing in front of God. So just take a peek for a moment to Source 26. This is a theme song in Rav Pinkas Zatzal. One particular essay that's brought here from his Sukkot essay is if we understand that we live with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and we need to have a tikshoret, a connection with God, that is brachos. 100 times a day we turn to God. 100 times a day we appreciate the world that God has given us. The tzura sachayim, the mode of life, the modus operandi that we deal with is to live with the borei olam, lifkosh oto, to meet him, l'daber elav, to talk to him. And this is what brachos is about. If one would, but for a moment, use brachos as a medium of hisboninos, of bina, of understanding, of bona, of building, then one allows oneself the opportunity that every time we say a bracha of a shahako, of a misono, so whatever it is, an asher yotzar, we say, I'm talking to God. If I'm talking to God, I have a relationship with God. If I have a relationship with God, I understand I'm here for a larger purpose. I can't get caught up in myself. And I have to recognize that life is about service of God.
Puts me in check on who I am in relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu. With this, we can appreciate a new dimension of Tu B'Shvat that the Sichor Yitzchakut brings down from the Pre-Tzadik, Reb Tzadik HaKohen, about the Minhag Yisrael to eat fruits of Eretz Yisrael.
They were of Eretz Yisrael. The eating of the fruit has the ability, Efshar L'Kabel Kedushav Achila L'Chol HaShana Ba'aleinu L'Tovah, has the ability to affect our eating for the entire year. And it's not just the eating that should be done properly, but the Mea Brachos, the 100 Brachos that we say, are part of elevating our eating. And we know, my friends, that the source of the Mea Brachos comes from a pasuk in Parshas Eikev. Of Ma Hashem Shoel Mimcha Kim Lirat Hashem Elokecha. What does God want from you? He wants from you to fear God. The Gemara says, Al Tikri Ma Ela Mea. Don't read it as Ma, as what, but Mea 100. What God wants from you is 100 brachos. So he says, it's a bit chassidic, I understand, my friends. Nonetheless, he says in 25, and don't get too nervous about this, that 45 days from Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The gematria of Ma is 45. And we know that there's two opinions in the Gemara when the world was created. Was it created the end of Elul or the end of Adar? Was Adar Marishon created Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or was he created Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? But if we say that Adar Marishon was created Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Adar Marishon messed up by what? By eating of the tree. So then we have the ability to mimetaking, to rectify the mistake of Adam HaRishon. We begin the rectification process 45 days earlier, the Ma, that we work on Mea Brachos, that we work on utilizing eating to be Ritzon Hashem, to be the will of God and not against God. Sichor Yitzchakut concludes this piece by saying that Tu B'Shvat is always around Parsha B'Shalach. And we know in Parshas B'Shalach we have the man, we have the shira, the song, we have the ochle aman, we have the food that the malachim would eat. And he notes, and this is an interesting concept, is that b'shira avodas habrachos, that shira, like the Klal Yisrael sang, that like the malachim sing, is what brachos is all about. Shira is a recognition of bringing everything back to its source, coming full circle. And that's what brachos is about, of recognizing our relationship with God. Therefore, my friends, we've now seen two attributes of a tree. Attribute number one is that it goes counter its force, that we have to break our midos, and the tree goes through cycles, likewise we go through cycles. Tu B'Shvat is the time, on the lowest time, to gain inspiration, to come closer to God. The second level the tree is about, the komas kufa, the presence of a tree. That's the aspect of an individual to recognize how great they are and to be able to see who they are. But with this, we have to understand that you have to be mashpil atzmo, recognize one's place in terms of God. Mea brachos, the 100 blessings, Tu B'Shvat, the preparation of the tikkun, the rectification of Adam HaRishon, is the perfect time to do this. These two attributes that we've spoken about till now are two attributes that have to do with ourselves. And utilizing the tree in order to gain an inspiration on how we can build ourselves into better people. The final two attributes is working on the tree outside, how we can affect our surroundings. And the first in 27 is the tzel, is the shadow, the shade. And the interesting thing about shade is, you know, when you eat fruit, so there can reach a point where you had enough fruit. Like, you know, 10 apples, I think, is like, for most people, maybe even a little bit before, it's like a saturation point. And some people like this fruit, and other people like that fruit, and it's too hard, it's too soft, it's too citrus. Shade is universal. You can never get enough shade. And a tree can give shade and more shade and more shade and never loses when it gives off shade. What is the shade? The shade is a sphere of influence. And as the Marche lays notes on the Gemara that says that in the future, the Gemara in Tanis, in the future, all the animals will come over to the serpent and say, you know, I understand when a lion eats its prey or a bear, it gains pleasure. What pleasure do you get from killing people? So the snake responds in 28. Amar lahem ve'ein yidron lebal halashon. What pleasure does a person get in speaking lashon hara? So you look at this and saying, you know, it's so typical Jewish. You answer a question with a question. So the mefarshim explain is that the snake says, my ability to kill somebody without pleasure is because I live in a world whose sphere of influence is people, and they kill people also without gaining benefit. That life is about, whether we realize it or not, on the world around us, we have a tremendous amount of influence down to the animals. Now, I'd like to suggest, we can go in many directions with spheres of influence. I'd like to suggest one very short mahalach on two levels of how we as individuals practically can use the sphere of influence in a very positive way, and gain from this inspiration. The first idea is going to be developed in a little bit more of a sophisticated manner in Hema Yenachamuni, the Talmud Rebbe, Rabbi Weinberg, and then I'm just going to bring it down a little bit more concrete in Rav Naiman and Darchei Mussar. The Talmud Rebbe points out in source number 29, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's a very interesting Gemara that lists 10 things that needs to be in a city, and if these things are found, so then a Talmid Chacham can live there. And among the lists, it's a fascinating list, is in no particular order. It's obviously a place of learning, a Beit Merachatz, a bathhouse, a rofe, a melamed, a number of things the city needs to have. So Rabbi Kiva adds, af mine piria. It also needs to have fruit trees, because they are me'irim et tainayim. They enlighten one's eyes. This is very beautiful. Like a town needs to have fruit trees. So piderach pashtus, that's what it needs. Tam chacham needs to live in a tree, in a city with fruit trees. A piderach amkus, on a little bit of a deeper level, the town, the Rebbe, understands this metaphysically. And he notes that it's not by accident, and this is a typical in learning memra, a concept in the Gemara, that the person stating this opinion, it's a reflection of what he says. So it's not by accident, it's Rabbi Kiva specifically who makes this statement. You know, it's interesting in source 30 how one writes the name Akiva. We generally, if any of you have Akivas, know Akivas, would want to know an Akiva, we write Akiva with an Aleph at the end. And that's the Gemara in Bavli does that. Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Aleph, and Chasam Sofer brings down, it's because he died saying Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the unification of the oneness of God, the Aleph at the end. The Talmud Yerushalmi writes Akiva with a Hey at the end. Why so? So the Or Zarua explains that if it's embedded in the Pasuk, watch me carefully in 30, of Or Zarua La Tzadik Uli Yishrei Le Simcha. The last letter starting in the word Zaruah is Ayin, Tzadik is Kuf, Yishrei is Yud, Lev is Beis, and Simcha is Hey. Rabbi Akiva is the epitome of Simcha, and therefore encoded in his name is Or Zarula Tzadik Uli Shrelef Simcha. And the midos that Rabbi Akiva have is a midos of Simcha and Anivos, and modesty. We know that each, it's brought down in the Hasidic Sfarim, is that each month of the year corresponds a different tribe of the year. And the way that most Sfarim work, a difference of opinion, that we start with Nisan, which is the Rosh Chodeshim, and we look at the way the Jews encamped in the Midbar, beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. So you have worked with this thing together. On the eastern side, and they traveled first, was Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. Then in the south was Reuven, Shimon, and Gad. On the west was Ephraim, Manasseh, and Binyamin. And the north was Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. And that's the order of the tribes. So therefore, Gad would be Elul, right? Yehuda is Nisan. Ephraim is Tishrei, Manasseh, I'm on the western side, would be Mar Cheshvan, Binyamin is Kislev, Dan is Teveh, Dan is the north, Dan is the darkness, Teveh is the darkest month, Shvat is Asher, and Adar is Naphtali. And there's a lot of Torah written on what the comparison and the connections are. Like just as a sense, Ephraim is Ki, Ephrani Hashem, it's multiplicity, is a lot. Tishrei, all the holidays. Mar Cheshvan is Menashe, Ki Nashani Elokim, has no holidays. There's a lot of connections. But what does Asher have to do with Shvat? So it's not by accident. Ma'asher 32, Shmeina Lachmovu Yitei Ma'anei Melech. Asher's blessing is out of fruit trees, of the olive trees. Tov Shemen Raglav. So that's one connection. The other thing is that the midah of Asher, the name Asher, Ba'ashri Ki Yishruni Banos, that the woman will be happy for me. Gladness. That's what the name Asher means. It means Simcha. And I don't know if we pay attention to this, even though we hear it hundreds of times. You're in shul for the laning on Dosa Bracha on Simchas Torah. So you go through the order of the laning. Which is the last tribe? This is like a great trivia question that I invite you to ask. Because you hear it over and over again, right? You do the Aliyahs over and over. What was the last tribe to be benched by Moshe Rabbeinu with Dosa Bracha? What's the first tribe to be benched? I see we're talking while we're... What's the first tribe to be benched by Moshe Rabbeinu? It doesn't seem to be going in any particular order. And then Ululevi Amar, it continues through, and the last one is Ula Asher Amar Baruch Mibanim Asher Yehi Ritzui Yechav Etovel Boshemen Raglov. And the Farshim point out that why is Asher last? Because he has the midah of being an Anav Gadol, a humble person. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew, because of his humility, he deserved Achron, Achron, Chaviv, to be put last. It's a nice Dvar Torah, if anyone has a son named Asher, for Bar Mitzvah, to Rosh Hashanah. It's an interesting concept. So it says the Talmud Rebbetzin, the hour is late, so we're going to move a little bit, my friends. It says the Talmud Rebbe, Talmud Rebbe notes, that these two midas of Simcha and of Nivos, is the midah of being able to be happy with what you have in life. And such a person who says, you know, I don't need more, whatever God gives me is what I need, is going to be able to have the greatest influences on others. As he says in 34, a person who has this anivus, hashva tova shel adam b'nei beito mikurvav yaprishalo, this is going to be his fruit. And the more a person lowers himself, the more other people will listen to him. To that extent will be his greatest hashva, his influence on others. And likewise in 35, one who is of simcha, of joy, has the ability to give over that joy to all whom he comes in contact. And in this sense, on a metaphysical level, when Rabbi Akiva, who embodied these midos of anivus and simcha, is saying, you should live in a town that has a fruit tree, it means you should live in a town where people are humble and people have simcha sachayim that are mirosei naim, that have the ability to influence others. Because when you live in a place where people know their limitations and they want to help others and they're not standing on their own gaiva and they're not always self-absorbed, to live in such a place that Talmid Chacham can thrive. And I'll tell you, my friends, let's say, take this one step further, says the Ma'arche Leib. And it says the Darche Moser Rav Naiman, where he notes that one of the aspects of Tu Bishvat is to appreciate that Hashem created the world with so much beautiful fruit. And that's one of the things to keep in mind when we eat so much fruit on Tu Bishvat. It's to say to ourselves that God could have created the world in black and white, but He didn't. Look at all the various fruits and the textures and the colors. And you know why all of this is here? Lehanot Bahem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to gain benefit. Because He wants us to live in a world where we're going to feel this benefit. We're going to feel this joy. So says the Derchei Moser, if a person should harm another person, he is undermining everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in this world, and says if he's machriv bria shlema, he destroys the world. It says the Darchei Moser, do you want to know one of the easiest ways to make this world a better place to live in? It's smiling at people. It's raising people's spirits. Right? The idea that he says that if somebody would open up a stand and everyone who passes by, he'd give out free milk. He'd say, wow, what a nice person, what a generous person. We know Chazal tell us that a smile is even greater than giving out that milk. And this is the model of the shade of a tree, the sphere of influence. What do we lose to smile at somebody? Nothing. What does it cost us? Nothing. To say a nice word to somebody, to compliment somebody. And that's why you need these midos. If you're so self-absorbed, you don't notice anybody else around you. Anivos means that I realize that I'm not the only entity in this world. And simcha means that I have the ability to take that joy and share it with others. And he notes here, he says, Chazal say there are six things in this world which is ne'alami ma'adam, which is taken away from us, where we don't see, where we don't know. And one of them is, you don't know where you're going to get the greatest benefit from. He says, you have no idea how a comment you can make to somebody, how a small statement, a pick-me-up, can change a whole person's life. How many times have we heard stories of people who are contemplating suicide or doing terrible things and somebody gives them that nice word, that beautiful smile? It saves a life. And it costs us absolutely nothing. That's moving our sphere of influence outward. And it's interesting. I recently came across Yehuda Slandau gave me, she once runs this beautiful workshop on Shabbos. So there are different kavanos to say when you're making challah with the flour and the water. So when you add sugar, and if you don't have sugar in your challah, you can add this for your kugel. We say in 40, one says, Anna Hashem, tein banu mesikos, give us sweetness. Midas chesed, limut chus v'ayin tova, kindness, being able to judge people favorably, a good eye. And here's the key. Bechol ze yakrin mitochenu hachutza l'savavim otanu. And we take that sweetness, and what do we do with it? We benefit others. Sweetness is not to keep inside. Sweetness is to share. And that's what life is about. That's what a tree is about. That's what shade is about. Give that shade to others. Give that goodness, that sweetness to others. My friends, our final idea in the hour is very late, so let's do this briefly. Is that a tree has the ability in 41 to be able to take from its branch and create new trees. And I think we could understand this, my friends, on two distinct levels very briefly. Level one is about chinuch banim, raising children. We know in 42, Torah Studies based on Lubavitcher Rebbe, that the word Bahalotcha is used in lighting up the candles. Bahalotcha literally means to raise up. Why does it say Bahalotcha, to raise up and not to light or kindle? Aaron's spiritual achievement was therefore not only to light the flame in the souls of Jewish people, but to take them to the stage where they would give light of their own accord. He did not simply create disciples, people were dependent on his inspiration. He engendered in them a love of God that they could sustain without his help. The greatest part of chinuch banim is to be able to raise children that they can become a tree on their own right, that they're not constantly dependent on the larger tree, but they have the ability to grow on their own, ba'alotcha, to raise themselves up. And as we've spoken about in the past, the Pishnetzer Rebbe Chovas al Tamidim 44 and 45, is that a parent needs to be a good gardener. And when they see a seed, don't raise children to be good children, raise children to be good adults. If you see a stubborn child, see and say to yourself, wow, if I can channel the stubbornness correctly, this child is going to be one who will never miss minyan, because he's so stubborn, he's never going to give up. That you can use this mita if channeled correctly in the proper way. I'll just add here a sidebar comment, and then we'll move to the next aspect of producing a tree from a tree. Is that when we talk about chinuch banim, raising our children, so I think that the imagery of a plant, of a tree, is important. That we recognize that for a tree to grow properly, it needs the right soil, it needs the right watering, it needs the right nourishment. And this is mamish a parenthetical remark, but I hope, if nothing else, we walk away with this remark tonight. In my short experience working with a seminary age group, and I work with students on a counseling level as well, it boggles my mind. It is incredible how many students suffer at 18 because of their parents. And you hear, and it's scary. Over and over again, I never was loved by my parents. I never got physical attention from my parents. I never got time from my parents. My parents don't believe in me enough. It's not one kid. It's not two kids. It's dozens and dozens of kids. Now, I will tell you, my friends, if I would meet these mothers, are they beautiful, nice, sweet, Erlich Edel people? The answer is what? Yes. But it behooves us to spend more time with our kids. You know, when we're reading a book to our kids or talking to them and the phone rings, we do not need to have the Pavlovian response. It will wait. First thing with answering machines. I remember, we all remember growing up, there weren't answering machines. Remember those things? Give the physical attention to the kids. They need it. Hand on the shoulder. Whatever it is, they need to feel that emotional connection. Bread and butter. The second aspect of a tree, producing a tree, is the famous Rashi in Elo Todos Noach, Noach Isadi. Rashi says, L'lamtcha, to teach you, Shikar Todoteim Shel Sadiki Maisin Tovim. That aside from physical children, that a tree can produce another tree, is our Maisim Tovim, is our good deeds. And that we need to be able to recognize that the good deeds that we do have to be deeds that will be able to establish themselves as a tree in their own right, that they'll be able to stand, that they're able to have some geschmack. And this is our final level, and then we'll summarize of what Tu B'Shvat is about. It's a beautiful piece in Rav Wolfson in Emunati Techa, where he speaks about in the end of the Gemara in Ksuvos, Atidin kol ilanei srak shev Eretz Yisrael sheet anu peirot. All the non-fruit bearing trees of Eretz Yisrael will bear fruit. What does this mean? So we know that when Adam HaRishon was cursed, the ground was cursed as well. And part of the ground's curse was that not all the trees would bear fruit. See, the original creation, it was all only fruit-bearing trees. After the ground was cursed, there are trees that wouldn't bear fruit. What is our tefillah on Tu B'Shvat? See, we only always associate Tu B'Shvat with fruit trees, but Tu B'Shvat is really a birthday of what? All trees. So we daven on Tu B'Shvat, Hashem, like we say, Adam uvei man toshi Hashem, in the schos of these ilanos, of these trees that are not fruit-bearing trees. And what have these poor trees done? Absolutely nothing. God, bring Mashiach. Bring the tikkun. Allow these non-fruit-bearing trees to bear fruit. That's our tefillah on Tu B'Shvat. Bring a tikkun olam. Bring a rectification that all trees will be able to bear fruit. And on a metaphysical level, we know that we, in terms of our mitzvot, the end of 50 and the asterisks, are like these non-fruit-bearing trees. Our Torah, our tefillah, our mitzvot, our ma'asim tovim, and they're not really done l'shem shamayim. They're not done the way they should be done. So in Tu B'Shvat, we're asking Hashem, help us out, that we, the non-fruit-bearing trees, should be able also to bear fruit. And therefore, my friends, what we've seen tonight in summation, 51, the Maruchei Leiz, we need to learn from the tree who gets its yinika, its nourishment from the roots to go against the natural gravitational force. We need to learn how the kifas hakoma, that we need to have our heads held up high in relationship to God. We need to recognize the sphere of influence that we can have on others, that how we can smile and help others. We need to recognize how we have the ability to create children or mitzvos and ma'asim tovim, and they should be the best in our ability. We need to recognize that Tu B'Shvat is a time from the point of lowliness that we can reach great heights. Tu B'Shvat is a time to work on our brachos, to work on our connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tu B'Shvat is a time to appreciate that all that Hashem has created to benefit us in this world, to make sure that we too, imatati odeo v'alachta v'drachav, are benefiting others. Tu B'Shvat is the time to daven that the non-fruit-bearing trees, as well as ourselves, need help. Bring the Mashiach that we should be able to bear fruit. V'lachem, in summation of 51, the asterisk, v'chamisha asar B'Shvat, which is the time of the Yanika, the time that the trees begin to gain its new sustenance from the physical waters, as well as the spiritual waters, we need to take the inspiration from the trees that we will be able to make of ourselves trees that will be able on the individual level to be ones with strong midos, ones with a strong head held up high, recognizing how great we are with our submission like Har Sinai to God, as well at the very same time to be trees that are able to influence others, to smile, to give that good word, to give that piece of encouragement to others, and finally to recognize our beautiful human ability to imprint from ourselves on others, whether it's the biological children we have, to spend time to nourish and nurture them, as well as on our spiritual children, on our mitzvos and ma'asim tovim that we do, that these should be able to be the bracha we begin with. They should be kamoscha, should be like you. And if we work on our own individual trees and take the inspiration from trees, we should be zocha to the future time of Az Yiraneinu Kol Atzei Hayar, where all the trees will sing out to God and all the trees will bear fruit.